Welcome to episode 3 of Friday Night Hockey.
In this episode, we discuss some current events in the NHL, talk about what we would change in our careers if we could change anything, and also welcome in a new segment at the end of the podcast.
Now, a quick word from our sponsor. Welcome back to another episode of Friday Night Hockey. Today we are on episode 3, and let's just get right into the news. First off, Vegas clinching. I mean, I'm not really surprised, let's be real here. They always clinch first, so.
The Avalanche were supposed to clinch first,
yeah,
and then they got COVID again. They're coming back tonight, but they had that clinch in the bag. They were like, I'm not even kidding, they're like 6 points up, maybe even more on Vegas. It should have been theirs.
Well, they're like in second place in the West, and they had played how many games? Not even as much as Vegas. So
yeah, they're a couple games back, I believe. Yeah, they're 3 games back at Vegas with 43. Vegas played 46. But, like, I don't know. If Colorado goes on a little streak again here when they come back and Vegas drops a few, I don't know.
It's going to be a close matchup to the end.
I just don't want to have to deal with Minnesota in the first round. I mean,
are they really that good? Like, I just feel like...
I mean,
they're doing well, I know, but, like, are they that good?
The Avalanche are a better team and have dominated them, but they've taken a night off here and there, and Minnesota put in 8 goals on them.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
And when they take a night off against, like, Arizona or St. Louis or any of those other teams,
the score gets bad.
it's like Colorado took a night off and they look like an average NHL team against those other teams. So
yeah,
I mean, we saw what happened to Arizona last year in the first round. So
yeah.
And how about the Hawks last night? Hometown Hawks down 4-1.
The big comeback.
Yeah, I mean, Hagel's goal. Yeah, I thought it was Patrick Kane for a second there. With the 8, I think he's 38 or something.
Yeah.
Put it, like, right between Saros's, like, mask and the bar.
Yeah, it was pretty nasty. I don't think I watched that game, though. I just saw, like, the highlights and stuff.
That was a funny game, too. My dad came, turned it on. He was like, this game's over. It's, like, 12 minutes left, and next thing you know, it's...
They come back,
4-2, then 4-3, and then 4-4.
Hawks, I feel like Hawks always have a record of, like, coming back from, like, games like those. You know
it's
what I mean?
It's because of 17 seconds.
Yeah.
But Dallas is technically ahead of them by a point.
Dallas.
Nashville's in that last playoff spot right now, so it was good that Chicago won. They're 3 points back of the playoff spot, so that's a tight division.
They can get there. I feel like Dallas is not doing well this year. I thought they were going to be pretty nasty, but
they had bad COVID at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, they've kind of been struggling. So.
They had a slow start, and they're still only at 45 games. So, well, I guess that's...
It's normal.
Yeah, it's like right at the bottom.
Yeah, around there.
But, I mean, I guess kudos to them for really coming back, because people kind of wrote them off at the beginning of the year.
Exactly.
They're also missing Bishop, Radulov, Sagan, so...
Yeah, they're missing all their good guys, so, I mean, they're doing well for what they got.
Yeah, and 2 nights ago, I looked at it, and I was like, what is happening in Pittsburgh?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
I mean, this was, like, the most ridiculous game I have seen in a while.
That was an interesting game. I think we were, like, what were we winning, like, 6-1, right? Pittsburgh. Should have been 6-1. Like, at the second, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was 6-0 at the end of the second period Penguins. And then I think the Devils scored, like, 3 goals, and then it was 6-3, and then Crosby scored. Mm-hmm. And then the Devils scored 3 more, 7-6.
So, yeah, Pittsburgh set a record for getting scored on 6 times in the third period and still winning. I mean... Not something to be proud of, but hey, we'll take it, right?
I guess it proves your offense is your best defense.
I don't know what to say about that one.
I mean, I guess the Penguins are coming away with that their new acquisition, Jeff Carter, scored a goal. one. How do you have 1 point when your team scores 7 goals? Come on, Jeff.
That makes me think about like something I would do.
Jeff's lacking over there. And how about, I mean, Jack Hughes?
Did he get anything?
Yeah, he had a goal. I'm not following this division that closely this year, but Hughes has been having a decent year. A lot of people.
I feel like everybody wrote him off after his first year, and he didn't really have a chance to prove himself. So, but yeah. He's not a bad player. I mean,
I think he'll be good. I don't think he's gonna be a game breaker like everyone thought he'd be, like McDavid. But I think he'll still be in that upper tier of, you know, players, kind of with like the middle tier guys, like not quite in the best, but
yeah, I agree.
More William Nylander, Mikko Rantanen type. Guy.
He gets the job done, but he's not going to be that all-star.
He's also a center, though, so he has the potential to, you know, do a little more than a winger would.
Yep. Yeah, that's why I always play center. I hate playing wing because I feel like you can't do as much as the center does. Center is everything.
Yeah, you're involved in the D-zone, too.
Exactly.
You gotta, you know, people talk about some centers only playing offense, but, like, even if you look at, like, Matthews or someone who kind of doesn't get credit, like, all centers have to play both ends of the ice.
Yeah, exactly.
So. And the ones who don't aren't, you know, top-tier players.
Yeah,
so. Yeah,
exactly.
And then the real big news of the week here that's kind of taken over the hockey world is Patrick Marleau passing Gordie Howe for most NHL games played all time.
Yeah. Did you see those gloves?
Those were pretty nasty. Cool. He wore them in warm-ups, so I was like, no way they let him wear them in the game. They didn't let him.
But those things were sweet.
Mm-hmm. Those, like, for the next 50 years, that's what he gets to show everyone that come to his house. That and his, you know, multi-million-dollar house.
Yeah. But I don't think anybody cares about the house. It's the gloves. No. It's the gloves.
But, yeah, I mean, that's unbelievable. And 23-season career, I believe. And I think he's played 11 straight seasons.
I think so. I thought he started, like, it was in the 90s, like, late 90s.
There's, like, 170 players in the league today that weren't born yet when he played in his first game.
Yeah,
so, I mean, that's, like...
Something. That is something.
That's crazy. That is
pretty weird.
But, yeah, I mean, he passed Gordie Howe, who, honestly, I don't know, like, how technically played over 2,000 games because he was in the WHA for a while.
Yeah.
But NHL games, Marleau now has the most, and he played in like his 900th straight game.
Yeah.
Or he's going to or something. Mm-hmm. And 900 games in a row.
That's insane.
You not missing a game. 900. I mean...
I can't even imagine that. That's, like, insane.
Most players don't even play 900 games. Yeah, exactly. And Patrick Marleau just went, like, no, I'm gonna play 900 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to play double the games of your career and do it all in a row. Like, I mean, that's just, he's a specimen. I mean,
that's something else. I can't even begin to imagine that one.
And did you see the video of Matthews and Marner?
I don't think so.
Yeah, they were, like, congratulating Marleau because they played with him and Thornton was, like, in the... Thornton played with Marleau for...
Yeah, that's right.
For a really long time, too, probably, like, 20 years.
Yeah.
In San Jose, and Thornton, like, snuck behind them, like, naked in the camera and was, like, doing something with a stick in the background, like...
It's too good.
But, yeah, that's pretty amazing for Marleau to... Do something like that. I mean, that's one of those ones, like, with Howe, nobody thought it'd be broken.
Exactly.
And I know we're looking at this the same way, but, you know, someday, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't even know what to say. Like, 1,700 games, that's crazy. Yeah, I mean, 1,700 seems, I feel like it seems like a small number, if you really, like, think about it. Like, you would think, oh, 1,700, but, like, that's a lot of games.
I mean, we're talking Patrick Kane has been, you know, a relatively healthy guy most of his career. Or, like, Nick Backstrom.
Yeah,
Keith Yandel.
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
And Keith Yandel's on one of the longest Ironman streaks in the league, too. Mm-hmm. And these guys are all just reaching 1,000 games this year. And they're in their early 30s already.
Yeah, I know. Like, they've been playing for a
while. So, I mean, to have the longevity to, you know, 700. They're probably looking at that. They're like, I just reached 1,700 more. Like, yeah. And they've already been in the league. It took them, you know, 12 years to reach 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes, like, what, like 8 years to reach 700? Like,
it's a lot. It's
so
a lot.
8 more years, they're all like, I'm taking my money and
going. Yeah, I know. No more. I'm done.
I mean, I don't know. If you could pick, like, any young player in the league right now, who do you think would be a young player who would last a really long time? Maybe, like, 25 and under.
I want to say Matthews. I can see Matthews staying in the league for a while.
I could see that, too. Like, just him.
He's just the type of guy that would just want to stay.
But I look at him, and he's had a lot of, like, injuries already. Like,
yeah,
his wrist or his knee or, you know, whatever.
Either that or I feel like McDavid. I always go back to those two, McDavid or Matthews. McDavid, like, because they're both the type of players that would just be your consistent guys in the league. So,
to be honest, I guess I said I was the one who brought up young players, but
yeah,
I think Crosby's gonna last. Yeah. I also think Ovi's gonna last.
I know Crosby definitely will stay for as long as he possibly can.
And he had concussion issues, but they don't seem to be.
But he's
affecting him
now.
No,
he still plays the same way.
So I could see him lasting a long time, and then I think Ovechkin's gonna stay to break Gretzky's record for goals.
Oh yeah, it's over.
I really hope he does too. Like,
that would be so cool.
He's already got the gray hair going. He's like looking like Gordie Howe with white hair. He's still taking bombs in the left circle on the power play.
I know. Yeah, that I I don't even know where I was going with this. Oh yeah, it'd be crazy to see Ovi break.
He's telling all the kids in the league when he's like 50 with his white hair. He's like, yeah, this stick back in the day, CCM trigger.
Yeah. Yep.
It's like 20 ounces. And all these other kids are wearing sticks. They don't even know they're holding them. They're just whipping the fuck around.
Ovi shooting school.
Ovi sticks like 10 pounds to them. He's like, you checked? You hit people in hockey?
I've never done that before. All right, well, let's transition over to our topic for the day. I think it's a good one. About if we could change how our path was, what would we do? I don't know if you want to start that off for me, but...
Yeah, you can go ahead.
So, I mean, honestly, I'm going to say my path was interesting. It was honestly good to be, like, if I'm going to be completely honest with you, I had a good path. I got to where I wanted to be, and if I wanted to go on, I could. But that being said, there's some things that probably, like, if I wanted to go to be better than what I am, I probably would take. First off is, if I could choose, I would definitely play in Canada. Not even a question. The opportunities there and the hockey there, I mean... Obviously, it's Canada, but it's just insane. The amount of AAA teams, first off, is like
insane.
That's an understatement. They have like in the GTHL, which is like the newest league for the AAA. They have at least like 16 teams.
Is that the Toronto one?
Yeah, that's like the top league, and then they have like. And then their leagues go into, like, districts. So it's, like, high school for here. Like, you can only play in a certain area you live in. So, like, let's say, for example, I'm going to say Oakville because I used to live in Oakville for the summers. The Oakville Rangers, like, you have to live in Oakville to play for their team.
Wow, that's intense.
But they were, like, gross. Like, and there's a ton of teams off of that, too. So there's at least, like, I want to say 40 teams just in Toronto alone for AAA. So right there is, like, the opportunities is crazy. Also, I probably, if I couldn't move to Canada, I would definitely want to play out east, in, you know, Connecticut, Massachusetts, that whole area, because hockey there is just something else, man. Like, it's just insane. The amount of exposure you get, because, I mean, everything's, like, in, what, a 2-hour radius of, like, driving between states, let's be real, so... College scouts are, like, everywhere there.
Also, a lot of strong college hockey teams out there.
Exactly. So, you're getting looks everywhere. So I definitely do that. But I think I would try. I would honestly want to go. If I played out east, I would play 2 years of, like, this is just saying for my midget years, not even my younger years, because, you know, younger years is obviously AAA.
Yeah, whatever, yeah.
Yeah. I would definitely play my first 2 years. My, I think it would be 14s and 15s, because that was, I was, no, 15s and 16s, because I'm trying to think freshman, sophomore year. But, well, regardless, whatever it is, I would play AAA. And then I think I would try to go to play prep school from on, like, a varsity team, because prep school hockey, something else too, man.
Yeah.
That is nasty. So I would definitely want to do that as well. Just the atmosphere of playing for, like, a school, just totally. I mean, it's like college hockey, right?
Yeah.
So that's a fun atmosphere. I think I would play much better. I know playing high school now, I play a lot better for my school instead of, like, just a club.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just my philosophy on that.
Well, you got more to play for.
Exactly. So it just makes it more fun. But, yeah, I know a lot of kids. I know I have one friend who's on, like, the NHL scouting list who plays, goes, I think it's Loomis Chaffee Prep School, which is nasty.
Cool. But flex.
Shout out to him. I don't think he even knows me really that well, but
I know someone.
I know. Well, I used to play with him, but, like, I don't know if he really remembers me. That's all. But yeah, I would definitely try to play prep school, or obviously my first choice is Canada, because you can't beat Canada. It's just the best. But
now, before I start, I just want to let everyone know, you know, Gavin knows that kid who doesn't know him. He's friends with him, yeah, that doesn't know him.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually know Joe Sakic, met him at the draft, you know. So, yeah, he's actually in the Hall of Fame, so I'm pretty close with him. I've been helping him make all the Avalanche trades, you know.
Yeah,
Just, like, mentally, you know, probably doesn't remember me, but, you know, I know him.
So bogus.
So, yeah, I think for my path, what I would change, honestly, I'd change where I was born.
Where I was born. Great start.
I would be born in Europe.
Europe. Oh, boy.
If you look like, I mean, a lot of goalies come into the league later.
Wait, pause. Didn't Marc-Andre Fleury, wasn't Marc-Andre Fleury born in Vegas?
He was born in Quebec. Nice try.
Okay, so let's just forget I said that and keep going.
I believe there's a French-themed hotel on the Strip. Paris.
I swear.
There's the Paris Hotel, but Quebec is in Canada, if you didn't know.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I swear he was born in Vegas. You know, I don't know why I was thinking that.
My good friend, Joe Sakic, actually was drafted by the Nordiques in Quebec, in Canada.
The Nordiques. They're nasty. Anyways. Keep going.
Anyway, I would not be born in France. Not really a hockey town. Town. Place. Whatever. I don't know, like Sweden, Finland, Latvia, Russia, anywhere over there. Well, Russia's in Asia, not Europe. But all of the, like, the European and Asian countries, because Russia's in Asia. You know, little geography lesson for everyone. They develop the goalies and the players longer. So,
oh yeah,
like,
that's right.
You don't see, like, Rasmus Dahlin is, like, a rare case where, like, a Swedish player comes over, like, that young, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, like their youth hockey over there doesn't end at U18. Like,
ends at 20s, right?
Might even be 22s.
Like, jeez, that's, like, crazy.
And then, even with that, like, Yaroslav Askarov, the goaltender picked by the Predators last year in Russia, like, the KHL has, you know, that's a pro league, mm-hmm. but they have tiers of playing level, but also, like, age.
Yeah,
so
it's really set
you
up.
Have to be a certain age to play in the actual KHL and, like, the league right below it.
Mm-hmm.
But, or if you're older but you're not as good, you play in the lower league. But, like, the development plans there are pretty good in Russia. And in like Sweden or Latvia or Finland, there they just, they'll develop you really long. Like, they'll develop you until you're 22. And even then, like, the way they have it set up, if you're that good, those leagues will put you, you know, you'll go from U18, U20, or whatever it ends at. But then those older age groups, like 20 and up, are connected to the pro leagues. So then you go right into a pro league.
Yeah.
And if they know you're good, they develop you from until you're 25. Like, Alex Merzlikins was a 25-year-old rookie last year.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's Latvian. But yeah, there's just a lot of more development for goalies and for everyone there. So that would be the biggest, if I could really change whatever I wanted. But, you know, if we're, like, staying here, I would have started travel sooner. Like, I didn't start...
Yeah, when did you start?
First year Pee Wee. So, like,
okay.
And I didn't really have, like, goalie coaching until then, which probably was, like... It was a good thing, but it was also a bad thing because, like, I wasn't too... There's a big conversation in goaltending now of guys getting too technical, too young, and they don't have the athleticism built in or, you know, like, that desperation mode and, like, different things that are tools, they're assets to have.
Yeah.
And you'll see some of these goalies that have had coaches since they started playing hockey and they never skated out. They're not good skaters. Like, they're good goalie skaters because it's drilled into them.
Yeah, it's goalie.
But they, like, skating, it's just not that great.
Yeah.
And because they never played out. Like, that was, my parents made me skate out all of my might years. And my first squirt year, I was only goalie half the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But for, you know, me to have that was kind of a blessing because it allowed me to have some, like, raw athleticism, but at the same time it was also bad because now I have bad habits, like, still to this day that are from that. So that'd be the biggest thing, that I'd play travel sooner. And because the way I see it is, if you start at a higher level, you move up to a higher level faster. So if you start,
because you're in that league and you play at that place though.
So if you start at, you know, double A, maybe you'll get to triple A in 3 years, where the kid who starts in house league, it takes him 6 years to get to triple A because he's got to go to travel first.
Yeah, he's got to work his way up more.
So I guess that would be the biggest thing I would change for my development, I guess. But, you know, the path I'm at now isn't, like, you know, neither of our paths are, like, closed off and, like...
No, not at all.
There's a lot of ways to get where you want to go.
Yeah.
I mean, the one thing I will say is, like, D1, you have to have some nice genetics.
Yeah, I mean, D1 is for the players that are your, you know, Patrick Kane, Austin Matthews, Connor McDavid. Like, those, like, the top guys, they're obviously going to be D1. But that being said... Just because you don't go D1 doesn't mean your career's over.
No.
Because there's always a lot of places to go after, besides, like, Division I college. Like, especially with what you were saying about in Europe. Like, all the stuff that they have there, I mean, come on.
Well, you know? And I don't know if you would agree with me on this, maybe you will, but when you look at the development plans and stuff, the U.S. and Canada, so, like, major, junior, and D1, is open to anyone. Like, D1 allows a certain number of import players. So, Avalanche prospect Sampo Ranta, he's from Finland, he's been going to school and playing for University of Minnesota.
Yeah.
There's a goalie in the Predators, Kasmer Kaskisuo. He played for Minnesota Duluth. He's also Finnish.
Yes.
So, it's like the North American high levels of development play are open to Europe.
Yeah.
But Europe and Asia are not open to the U.S. So, like...
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Like, you could go to you know, Latvia or Russia. But you're not going to have as much of a chance as the Russian kid that's been in Russia since he was born.
Yeah, it's
different. Whereas if a Russian... That's probably a bad example because Russia is...
Russia has more of a structure than
I tried to go play in Latvia, well, they've been developing kids and they know them already. And, you know, you're going to really struggle to find a good team to play for.
Yeah.
But... any good Latvian goalie can come here and take the spot of the kid who was developed here or in Canada.
Yeah.
Because whatever magic they're doing over there, they've got all these, well, we have a bunch of them too, all these 15-year-olds that are 6'5", like, and that's like, you know, I don't know, I just, it's closed, it's kind of a one-way street, like, we're open to Europe, but Europe's kind of closed to us.
In a sense, I feel like it's true to a point. I agree with you, but I think there is a way if you know what you're doing, and you have that backup to where you can show that you are good enough to play for them.
Well,
I think that's another thing. You have to have, like, I'll put this in quotes. I know nobody can see me, but like a resume of your hockey stuff. Like if you can prove that your stats and stuff are good enough, I think you can get in, but you have to have that resume.
Well, and I don't know. I mean, coming from Illinois, like hockey politics here are outrageous.
Brutal.
They're terrible. And that's a whole discussion in and of itself. But I don't know what they're like in Europe or anywhere, but...
I mean, everywhere has their politics.
I mean, yeah, but there will come a point for certain things if there's not a ton of politics or, you know, whatever it is. Like, they just... if they're looking at 10 goalies for 2 spots and there's no politics, they're going to say, oh, this kid is better than everyone else. Maybe we should take him. That's definitely not how it works here.
But, yeah, yeah.
I mean, who knows? Maybe that is, you know, a possibility. But yeah, but like I was saying with the D1 stuff, it's, you gotta be kind of lucky. Like, there's those outliers, obviously. But when I look at the people who go D1 or like they're committed, or the people that get drafted, they're in the Bantam draft for juniors.
Yeah,
which,
yeah,
by the way, just means you have their rights, like they're not on the team.
Yeah, no, I know that.
But like all these goalies, they're like 15 years old and they're like 6'2", 6'4", 200 pounds. And I'm like, I'm 15, 5'1", anyone interested in that?
No. Yeah, I feel like a lot of the Division I kids, they have like that path paved for them right away. Like, so they know exactly where they're going, what they're doing, how they're doing it, and how they're going to get there all ready for them. And then there's kids that aren't really too, like, they want it, they have that drive, but they're not too sure how to get there.
Well, yeah, and like, it's also, like, people commit, like, now for our age at, like, 16, 17.
Yeah, that's, like, a normal thing now. It's really weird.
Like, that's not the path for either of us, because we're, you know, not monsters when we're 10 years old.
Yeah.
We're not 5'5 at 10.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, like we just talked about, there's still a path somewhere there. Yeah.
Exactly.
Any other changes?
You know, I don't think so. I really, the big things that I mentioned, really, I would love to play in Canada. I think that's one of my favorite things, especially since I've played there in the summertime and springtime with them. It's just so much fun playing there. I think the atmosphere is just totally different from what it is in the U.S., but that and prep school, man.
Yeah.
It's so sick. But, yeah, that's about it. I mean, I kind of... everything I've done, I'm kind of happy with.
Yeah.
So it's not really, there's not too much I really would care to change because I've done a lot.
You're satisfied with where you are.
Yeah, exactly. So.
All right. Well, we're going to end off the pod now with our new segment we're starting to end off
podcast.
And we'll have a question of the day. So if you guys have a question, feel free to message.
Yeah, DM us on Instagram. We finally got that all running and set up. Friday Night Hockey.
So today's question of the day, if you could pick any NHL team to be on, regardless of how good they are, based on like your skill set and how you would fit into that lineup if you were elevated to an NHL level of play, what team would you pick and why?
Well, I know this is going to sound a little like, oh, really? But Vegas, definitely 100%. I just love their atmosphere and the way they play. It's just my favorite. Ever since, like, and this was before, I'm not trying to be like a bandwagon since they've been good ever since they first got into the league. But once they started, like, their first year, I was like, this is, like, a good team. And I've always wanted to, follow them. So I would definitely choose Vegas. I think I'd be good for them. Mm-hmm. What about you?
I'm picking either, I'm an Avalanche fan.
Yeah, I know.
But
I had to turn down Penguins for this one. Sorry.
hear me out, because they're very strong defensively, and that makes a goalie's life.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Great. So I'd either pick, like, the Avalanche now, the Islanders now.
Islanders, ooh.
Or, like, the 2012-2014, the championship Kings teams.
Beat out quick.
And I'm saying that, and everyone listening, you hear this. Jonathan Quick's 2012 playoff run is the greatest the goalie has ever played in league history. That when he was in 2012 playoffs, he was dialed in. He was better than Wah, Hasek, Brodeur. Jacques Plante was looking out of his grave like, who is this guy? Because he's American and he's way better than all the Canadians. He was a god, but he was also helped. His defense was really good.
Yeah, that Kings run was something else, like, man.
They had Doughty, Martinez, Muzzin. They're all Muzzin and Martinez weren't, or Muzzin was on the first pairing with Doughty, but Martinez was on the second pairing, and he was traded for a first round pick, I think.
Yeah,
and so was Muzzin, I believe. And they also had Slava Voynov in 2012, who got himself deported and wasn't on the 2014 team. But he was really good, too. But, yeah, like, I'm a believer in the defense wins championships. And, like,
the defense wins championships.
The Islanders this year are really good. And I know that, you know, Sorokin is getting a lot of talk in his rookie year. And Varlamov's, like, coming back. But they're not in their position now without the team defense that the Islanders play. And also Philip Grubauer with the Avalanche, he's having like a Vezina year. You know, not happening without the defense in front of him and that penalty kill and everything.
Yeah.
But my last thing with that, with the, you know, defense, is the greatest goalie of all time, Jonathan Quick. He said,
it's a little stretch, but
it's actually not a stretch. I'm friends with Joe Sakic, so he actually said this year after getting a shutout, the reporter asked him how he felt, and he said, "Shutouts are a team stat," and that was all he said.
Mic drop.
Yeah. So
I mean, it's true though. It's true.
I mean, even in your best games for a goalie, you get bailed out. Your defenseman save you somewhere, There's a bounce, a guy fans on an empty net, he dekes you, but the puck, you know, flips up.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's been a good episode. Well, I guess we'll wrap it up here, right? Anything else you want to end off on?
No, just send us your questions, and we'll get to them.
Yeah, alrighty.